You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Now, everyone, it's time to spread a bit of movie cheer.
Welcome to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the show for movie fans. I am your host, AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer. And on today's edition of the Movie Cheer Pod, I will be discussing films that shaped my movie taste. So I'm looking back into my childhood, movies that really inspired my current taste in films, and kind of like discussing their movies, but also discussing the movies that it kind of inspired for me to, that really inspired my movie taste today. So I think this is going to be a really fun little headline topic today. Not a little headline topic, it's going to be a usual size headline topic. But that is going to be today's headline topic, ladies and gents. But before we get to today's headline topic, we like to start the show off with a segment called What's Been on the Screen.
Ooh, what's been on the screen?
What's been on the screen? What have I been watching over this past week, ladies and gents? So, it's been a few weeks since we did a normal show, so I've been watching a few different things. So I thought I'd just kind of do a summary of some of the really the ones that I really enjoy. So first of all, the Beekeeper, a new movie that came out I think it was this year or last year. I'm pretty sure it came out this year, and it's only just come out at the on Sky Movies as well, and all video on demand platforms as well. So this is a Jason Statham movie starring Jason Statham, Josh Hutcherson, Jeremy Irons, directed by David Ayer, who directed, I didn't realize how many different movies this guy directed. He did like the Suicide Squad movie, he did the Fast and Furious movie, he's done a ton of movies that I really enjoy. I thought, let's give this a watch. I like Jason Statham, I like action movies. This is an action movie. Let's get into spoilers of this movie. So spoilers ahead, ladies and gents, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Look, the way I put it in my notes for the when I do my movie watch list, I said this is Jason Statham's Equalizer movie, his John Wick, his Taken movie, really. This is for me, I know you could probably say like the Transporter movies, he's done a few of them, but it kind of, for me, it had very much a similar vibe to definitely the Equalizer, and kind of like the idea that this guy is like this special ops guy who no one knows who he is, his background, and he's like this like just like super killing machine. And basically at the start of the story, this person who he cares about is taken away from him. Basically, she is scammed. This lady, she takes him in under her wing, and she doesn't know who he is. He's just a beekeeper. He looks after the bees. He literally is a beekeeper. And he works on this farm for this lady. He rents out the barn in there, and he keeps bees. He makes the bees come to the land and do their thing and make the plant life, everything all grow. That's what bees are known for. And you know, you think he's just a beekeeper, but then you see in this story then early on in the movie, this elderly lady who takes him in, who he really cares for, she is scammed out of all her life savings and like millions of pounds, this lady. And she's scammed by one of these these prank call centers who ring up and they try and get your details. And it wasn't a movie, I didn't really expect that plot. I was kind of, because I didn't know what the plot was going to be. So they scam this lady out of all her money, and they're gloating about it and stuff like that. And she ends up killing herself. She kills herself. This lady, she quits suicide, which is really, really tragic. I didn't see that coming. I thought he was just going to go on kill these guys. So then he is just on a vengeance mission then. He wants to, go and destroy all these like scammers. And he goes like these big call centers and these like multi-billion dollar companies who run these big scams to scam people out of money. And then, you know, it goes to the head of the table, if you like, with Josh Hutcherson's character, who's the son of the president of the United States of America. You find out this like very late on in the movie. But yeah, it's a really, you know, look, I don't think it's a, like one of the best action movies you're ever going to watch. I will also say this, the action scenes are fun, but it's not like John Wick level of like fight scenes. It's nothing like that. But I think, you know, I think for me, it's just pure action. Especially, I think there's a period of first like 20 minutes in the movie, just like pure, feels like pure action for a period. And then it slows down a bit when Jeremy Irons' character comes in there a bit. And then it kind of paces up again near the end, and you just get all our action again. And yeah, it's a decent movie. I enjoyed it. I think there's definitely room for a sequel in this one, The Beekeeper. I think it actually did really well money. I think it did like over, I think it was $90-100 million budget, and it made like $200 million as far as I know at this moment in time. So I think it's, you know, it's broke even at least. It's a fun movie. It's not too long. It's like an hour. It's probably just about 2 hours, maybe something like that. It's just maybe a bit less. But it's an easy watch. It's a digestible movie. Not too long. The right amount of time for the story. I think Jason Statham as well. You know, I watched this movie, and I got vibes of, there's a bit where he's taken out, he's going into this building, another building, to try and stop this other call center. Like, there's a few different call centers he goes into, all run by the same syndicate. And he goes in, and they're aware of him, because he's like this, the police are trying to hunt him down. And it's like one of the FBI agents is the daughter of the woman who killed herself. And you know, she is aware it's him. And it's like this manhunt for him then to try and stop him. And he goes up outside his building, and he just kind of like just introduces himself to the SWAT team outside his call center. And they're aware it's him. He's like, he names himself. And then he just starts going crazy. He doesn't want to like kill the SWAT team, but he just goes absolutely crazy on the guys. And he remind me of Riggs, Martin Riggs out of Lethal Weapon, obviously played by Mel Gibson. And it give me like vibes of shades of that character he's this guy who's just, because he's unhinged now. He's this beekeeper. He's from this special ops team. He's like, you know, one of the, you know, an ultimate killer machine. And then he's just I think he's just angry with the world, and he's a bit crazy. And that's what he reminded me of, Riggs. And I was thinking, do you know, if they did a remake, I know like they're on about doing reboot or a sequel to Lethal Weapon, but I think like Jason Statham in a Lethal Weapon movie would be cool. I'd watch, if they did like a remake, I know they did that remake of the TV show. I've never watched that. It might be decent, but I think, if they did a remake, I know he's British, and I know you're going to be, but like, look, Mel Gibson's Australian, isn't he? I think he's Australian. Yeah, he is Australian, and he played an American character. I know he can't really do, he's a bit like a Ray Winston, Jason Statham. He doesn't really do accents that well, but if they did some sort of like, I suppose you had that with the Fast and Furious spin-off. That was kind of like his Lethal Weapon, wasn't it, with The Rock? Because that definitely had shades of Lethal Weapon there in that movie. But yeah, he's got like the Mel Gibson vibes to him. I think he's like this generation's Mel Gibson. I think we're going to look back on him in years to come and be like, you know what, that guy always gave us like really solid movies. They were really, I know he's not like them, like, is it in Sharknado movies? I've never watched them. I don't know whether they'd be my cup of tea. But this, just in regards to action movies, every action movie I've watched him in, I've enjoyed. I've never not enjoyed his movies. I've seen him in. So I think he's a really, I don't think he's underrated, because I think people are well aware who Jason Statham is. I think he's an established actor. He's in some big franchises. But I do think he's like, when you compare him to other actors, I think maybe he's just overlooked sometimes by other actors. And I just like him as an action star. Look, he's not going to win like a drama. I don't think you're ever going to see him in a drama movie. I don't think you want to see him in a drama movie. Like in some sort of like romance movie at all. I think for me, he is just like, you know, like Arnie, he was superb in doing action movies. I know he could do comedy as well, but Jason Statham also feels like he can do comedy as well. You know, you remember him like in The Italian Job, he could do that. In Mean Machine, he could do that as well, dropping that bit of comedy in there as well. But yeah, The Beekeeper, I think if you're looking for an all-out action movie, if you like movies like The Equalizer, if you like movies like John Wick, Taken, I think The Beekeeper is going to be right up your street. Well worth checking out. Jason Statham at his best, just doing pure action. Now, let's move on to another movie I've been watching this past weekend. I'm a big fan of watching animated movies before I go to sleep. I just like to watch animation movies. I always find them quite chilled out, if you know them. So they're not too heavy to plot lines. I'm talking about like family animated movies, you know, your Pixars, your DreamWorks, your Disneys, them sort of things. And this week I watched one that I'd never seen before, but I've heard about for years, and I've always referenced this movie about the weather. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, 2009 release. The cast of this, the voice cast is quite something. I mean, there's, you know, you got Bill Hader in there, Anne Faris, Mr. T's in there. There's a whole host of great voice actors in there for this movie. But yeah, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's basically this story of this inventor called Flint Lockwood. He wants to be this great inventor, but he's not really. He's just, you know, he's, you know, everyone looks at him as this weirdo. And he's in this, it's on this little island that used to sell sardines, and the sardine companies go out of business, and there's nothing going for this island he lives on, his home island. And basically, he invents this device that can change water into any type of food, and then it starts like creating like cheeseburgers, and then he shoots it inadvertently shoots it into the sky, and then it uses like the rain and the moisture of the sky, and then it starts like, you know, raining burgers, raining hot dogs. And at first, the, you know, the town love him, they, you know, think he's a hero to the town. And then something happens where, you know, it, there's a fault with the machine, and then it starts producing even bigger, you know, pieces of food. So like it gets like these huge hot dogs, huge burgers, huge loads of ice cream. And then eventually it happens where, you know, it impacts the town, in the case where you get a tornado of, you know, of spaghetti, a tornado of spaghetti and meatballs. And then this like machine turns into this like big sort of like alien sort of creature, and he's got to go up and, you know, destroy the machine and destroy this to save his town, to save the island he lives on. And it's a really fun movie. It's one, like I said, one I've heard about quite a few times. Apparently it's based on a book. There is a sequel to it as well. There's a sequel that I started watching the other night, but I fell asleep watching. Not that it was bad, it's just I was just absolutely really whacked out. I was really tired. So but yeah, it was a fun movie. It had vibes of, I would say, and I've read this online, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It had them sort of vibes to it. It's really, but it's, you know, like the inventor, you know, you think of like Doc out of Back to the Future as well. It's kind of got them vibes. I think Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is really a good sort of like similarity to, is that the right word? I think I mispronounced that word. Very, you can compare it to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's got them vibes to this movie. But yeah, really fun movie. I didn't realize as well, this was directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. So these guys went on to doing, they've done like the Lego movie. They did the first animated Spider-Man movie, Into the Spider-Verse. They actually did they got booted out of the Han Solo movie when they did that. You know, they filmed a lot of that halfway through production. You know, Kathleen Kennedy decided they weren't right for the movie, and then they ended up getting Ron Howard in the movie instead, directing. But they shot a lot of that stuff for that movie. It would have been interesting to see what their solo movie was. I like that movie, but I think it would have been cool to see, because I think they're a really good directing duo. But I think they have kind of like got the, you know, I think they're good at animated movies. I think this is where, you know, with the Lego movie, the Spider-Man, this one, really, really good animated movies. And I think the animation style reminds me a bit of like Wreck-It Ralph as well, which I liked. You've got this like, as well, the villain of the piece is really this town, the town mayor, who he just loves eating the food, and he's trying to get more people, visitors into the island. And you see him in the end, he's not like kind of like a bad villain, he's just like a greedy, he just wants more food and more power. And he's just kind of like a silly villain, really. He's not like a bad, nasty sort of villain. But it's a, yeah, I thought it was a fun movie, fun animated movie. I've watched it a few times since. I've actually really enjoyed it, if I'm being honest. But yeah, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, well worth checking out. And finally, I'm just going to get to the final one I want to talk about today. I'm going to really touch upon this really briefly, because it's, I don't want to get too much, because I don't want to be down on this movie, but Iron Claw, released last year, the, you know, the wrestling movie based on the tragic story of the Von Erich family, the Von Erich curse, if you like. And it follows Zac Efron as Kevin Von Erich. You've got Jeremy Allen White as Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado. And, you know, the story of this family is, you know, if you don't know it, basically this family, all different family members, all the, it's like a bunch of brothers, and they all tragically lost, a lot of them lost their lives. I think it was only Kerry, Kevin who's still alive now. And basically, you know, there was death, you know, from suicide, from overdosing, and, you know, just some really bad events, you know, some really bad illnesses and stuff like that. And I want to say, look, I think it was a really well done movie, this Iron Claw. And I've heard a lot of people saying really great things about this. I'm going to be honest though, I love wrestling. I love wrestling. I was really pumped to see this movie. I'll be honest with you, this is not a movie maybe I will in the future, but I don't feel like this is a movie I could watch again. Because it was really, I think it was really well done. Because it's such a sad movie to watch. And I went in knowing what to expect, but I kind of went out watching it. And by the end, I was like, this is kind of like, sucked my energy out a bit. I found it really, really sad of a movie. It was, well, what I can say, I agree with people when they say it was really well made. Great, you know, not a good story, but a well-told story of this, you know, it's a biopic. I thought it was well told. I thought you really got an insight of what was going on with the characters. But yeah, just a very genuinely sad movie. I think if you're going into that movie to watch it, I think if you don't want to watch a movie that is very, very sad, very draining, I would say I wouldn't go in and watch this movie. But if you want to, if you're into your biopics, if you understand you're going to go in and see that sort of movie, it's a well-made movie, great cinematography. Great, you know, great acting in it. I thought Zac Efron was really good as Kevin Von Erich. It's a good movie, but just not a movie that I could watch again because it was really draining. I felt like, and you could really feel like the tragedy of that family, what they were suffering at that time with all like the deaths in the family. And you know, I love wrestling movie. I kind of like really did remind me a lot of the movie The Wrestler that came out with a few years back. That was a solid movie. And again, kind of a lot with that. I don't know if my feelings were quite exactly the same. I think I probably could watch that again now. But with that movie is quite a sad movie as well. If you're watching that and you see that story and you see this guy who's just down in the dumps and, you know, nothing really good is happening for him. That was a very, very emotional, and it kind of felt like a very similar tone at times as that movie, The Wrestler. But yeah, both equally great wrestling movies. Like I said, I don't want to take a dump on this movie because it wasn't a bad movie. I just want to say though, it was, and I'm not going to be on the fence as well. I'm going to say, look, I think it's a great cinematography, a great, well-made movie. But again, I think it's just for me, you know, you get them. Sometimes you don't want to watch a movie that's going to really bring you down, do you? And I'm all about, this is the whole thing with movie cheer. I always want to watch a movie that really brings me cheer. It sounds silly, but it's true. And with that, I watch this and I always want to be true to discussing movies. And like I said, it wasn't a bad movie, but it is a movie that is very sad. And I think it leaves you at the end of it. And maybe that was the intention of the movie, obviously, to leave you feeling that way. And it really made you feel. So in a way, it hit an emotional note with me. So that is, you know, I think that's always great with movies. It's not one I'd watch again, but it hit that emotional note. It was a well-made movie. And I definitely, look, if you know what you're going to get going in, give it a watch. It's well worth it. But anyway, that's what's been on the screen over the past week or so. Let's get to today's headline topic.
The Movie Cheer Podcast presents the headline topic for the episode.
Remember to spread a
headline topic. Headline topic.
Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer.
So today's headline topic, films that shaped my movie taste. So yeah, looking, you know, we all have movies that we look back upon, you know, growing up, movies that really stand out as movies. You think, you know, this is one that's really inspired the taste that I watch in this particular genre today. Now, I feel like for me, this is going to be definitely a round two, a round three sort of video, because there's so many different genres that I really enjoy and so many movies I can look back on and say, this is a movie that I really look back on to inspire my interest in this particular genre of films. So I've got a few today, and some of them, you know, I've mentioned on the channel before, and I want to really, you know, like, deep dive into what the genres it's really inspired, and some of the movies as well is inspired to watch as well in the years since watching these movies. So I'm going to start off with a movie that really has inspired my love of a genre today that sometimes is hit and miss nowadays, but overall I can still say I get a lot of enjoyment out of, and that's superhero movies. And the movie I really look back on growing up as one was a one in 1997 called Batman and Robin. the George Clooney movie, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, obviously Clooney as Batman, Bruce Wayne, Chris O'Donnell as Robin, Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. This movie, 1997, Joel Schumacher directed. This is a movie, I get it, it is absolutely cheesy nowadays. If you look back on Batman and Robin now, it is the cheese fest. It's nothing like the, you know, the recent the Batman movie, the Christian Bale trilogy that we all really loved and enjoyed. This is night and day compared to them. But this is a movie that I really, you know, I watched like the 89 Batman growing up as well, and Batman Forever, and the Superman movies. But for me, I always think back to Batman and Robin. I don't know why it is. I think it's one that I probably watched the most growing up at the time, 1997. And I remember getting that. I don't know if I watched it at the cinema, but I remember getting it on VHS and just really enjoying that movie. I think the big draw for me back then as well in 1997 was I was a huge Arnie fan. I still am to this day. And for me, you know, I was really a big fan of, like, you know, your Total Recalls. Arnie in the 90s was, you know, prime. That was his era. Total Recall, Terminator, Running Man. I can name every Arnie movie. I enjoy a lot of Arnie movies. But I think the pull of him as the villain, as Mr. Freeze in this movie, was a big draw as well. You've seen Arnold as in a Batman movie. How cool is that? And he's playing a villain. And it's weird looking back to today, because, you know, can you imagine seeing Arnie in a Batman movie today? It'd be interesting to see. I'd love it if they did that. I would. I'd love to see what the Batman movie sequel. A different version of Mr. Freeze, because I still think I think Arnie's a great actor. I really do. I think he's a really cool actor. But I think that was the pull. But that movie, just again, it was cheesy. It was of the time. The action wasn't great. It was just, you know, very comic-y. You know, it's a more family friendly movie where they're a lot more darker in tone, adult, more adult natured nowadays, the Batman movies. But yeah, that really inspired my movie taste, and going into what it's inspired now is, you know, my love of the, like I said it's hit and miss, the MCU. It's had a few bad, you know, bad movies over the past few years. It's not been as good as it has been, but the MCU, you can't knock it. As a franchise of movies, it's still great. And if you look what they've done up to the, you know, Endgame and Infinity War, their movies were superb and they were really enjoyable, apart from Iron Man 3. And then you look at DC, what, you know, the Snyder Cut, and some of their movies, again, they've been hit and miss, some of them, for sure. But there's been movies over the years, like, you know, that I've, like Guardians of the Galaxy, the Batman versus Superman, I enjoyed that. You know, there's been other DC properties that I've really enjoyed as well. Like, there's, you know, there's been a few different ones, and I like the first Shazam. That was a fun movie. I thought that was really fun. The Flash, even recently, you know, it's had its criticism, but I didn't mind that movie. But that movie, Batman and Robin, is really the one where I always think back. Where was the root to my interest in this superhero genre? And it really does go back to that one. I can't think of any other one that really is the starting point for me into that entry point into that genre. And that's why I still, as bad as that movie is, and it's not one I probably would rewatch a whole lot. And I think in my lifetime now, I think how many times I'm going to rewatch Batman and Robin. maybe one or two times. I don't think I'm going to watch it a ton of times, but it's still a fun movie. And it inspired my interest in superhero movies. And I think that's really cool to look back on when you can see the entry point of what movie it was, and you see it's that, and it makes me laugh because it is not a great movie, but it's inspired my taste. Next, I want to get to sports-based movies. I'm a big sports fan as well as movies. I love wrestling. I know some people say it's not a sport. I disagree. It's sports entertainment. Same sort of thing. But you know, I love sports. I love wrestling. I love football. I'm a big football fan. I enjoy a bit of boxing. You know, I'm one of these people you put me in. You know, I watch golf. If you put me in front of a TV, I've always got Sky Sports News on. It's Sky Sports News or a YouTube or a movie. That's for me. But yeah, I've always enjoyed sports-based movies. And I was thinking back, what was the movie that really inspired my taste? And these are fictional sports-based movies, also non-fictional. So really, I go back to one. There's a few different ones I could have chosen here, but I think it's got to be Rocky. 1976 movie. Growing up, the Rocky franchise was a movie series like Star Wars. I would watch over and over again. I used to love watching them, especially like in school holidays. You know, you watch the Rocky movies. I love that. It was so fun, so much fun. I used to watch it with my mum, the Rocky series, you know, during school holidays. It used to be a really great memory for me personally. I love that. And, you know, I look back at the Rocky movies, you know, Carl Weathers, Stallone, great acting. That, all of them, they're all very different than movies as well, but the first one is just really well made. This underdog story, this guy gets given this opportunity to fight the world champion, and then he goes the distance. He nearly wins, and then you see in Rocky 2, he ends up winning the world title. Spoilers for a movie that's, you know, 40-odd years old or whatever. But it's, he wrote that movie as well. Stallone wrote that movie. He wrote the script. And I don't think he owns the rights for the movie. I think this is some bizarre thing. He doesn't own the rights to Rocky. But that's here. That's a different conversation. But that movie, I know it's a fictional movie. Some people will say, you know, Rocky was true. He was real to me. But yeah, it's a fictional story. But it was so emotional, so real, that story. The characters felt real, the story felt real, and I think it was just really well made. Great cinematography, great soundtrack from Bill Conti. But that's really inspired my interest in sports-based movies. Another one I could really think of growing up, one that was a biopic, was Cool Runnings. You know, it's comedy, it's sports-based, had that sports-based drama aspect like Rocky. And that was another one what I really enjoyed growing up, and really another one I could have chosen today for this one. But that's another one I enjoy. You know, I think other sports-based movies, there's tons that I've really enjoyed in this genre over the years. Moneyball is another one. I think that's a fantastic movie. That's a true story. Remember the Titans. Now, I'm sure Remember the Titans is actually a true story. I'm pretty sure. I may be wrong. But there's been loads. What's the Friday Night Lights? That's a great one. That's a superb film. There's so many great sports-based movies over the years. Escape to Victory, another Stallone one. Again, sports-based movies, because I enjoy sports and I love that drama aspect mixed in with sports, I think it's a really, for me, I know sports-based movies are not for everyone. Like for me, horror movies are not for me personally, but sports-based movies, I just really get into them. I can really enjoy a sports-based movie. I love that genre because I love sports outside of movies, and I love adding that aspect of drama in there as well. I think it's great. I think it's a great genre. And really, the Rocky series, first Rocky, but all them Rocky movies have really inspired my interest in this particular genre. Next up, I want to go to a movie that came out in 1994, a Disney classic, one movie that I've mentioned on this channel plenty of times before, and it is Lion King. The Lion King, the first Lion King movie, 1994, starring Jeremy Irons, the voice cast, James Earl Jones, Matthew Broderick, tons of great voice actors in there. This was a Disney release, and I think for many growing up in the 90s, you know, and even adults as well, I think you can really appreciate The Lion King for its unreal animation. The animation was fantastic. I don't know if at the time, I'm sure it was like a cross between like drawn animation, computer-generated animation. I think it, I'm pretty sure it was a mix of both. Again, if I'm incorrect, correct me though. I'm sure I remember watching a documentary on that. But you know this story of this young lion, Simba, who his father is the king, and then his father dies, and then he goes on this journey then to go the full circle to becoming the king of the pride. And it's a really, a family story. He's taking on his uncle Scar, played by Jeremy Irons, who's great in that role. Great music throughout that story. But Lion King is one where I look back and I think that's a movie, again, where I would watch it a lot as a kid. And even as an adult, I still watch Lion King. I really enjoy it. I never enjoyed the remake they did, they call it live action, like the Jungle Book one. I just couldn't get into it. It just didn't click for me. Even though it's the same story, I just didn't have that connection to it. But this one has really inspired my love of animation. And I think over the years, I've enjoyed the Pixar movies, the DreamWorks. Pixar, for sure, definitely has been a genre I've really enjoyed. But then it's, in more recent years, it's inspired my interest in Studio Ghibli movies. So I've really got into the Studio Ghibli, the Japanese movies where you've got Spirited Away has become one of my favourite movies of all time. And I look back, my favourite movie growing up, was an anime. One of my favourite movies was an animated movie, Lion King. And if I didn't get into that growing up, would I have enjoyed the likes of Spirited Away? I think I've always had that interest. And, like I said at the start of this show, watching Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And I always tend to watch animated movies kind of before I go to sleep most times because it kind of chills me out. And I think that's one of the things where I always look back and animated, something about animated movies, especially the family-friendly ones where just you can just really relax to the story. I think just the animation, I'm always amazed by animation as well. Just the skill in animation. And even that's maybe enjoy as well over the years, animated cartoons as well, like Family Guy, your Rick and Morty, your Simpsons. I think it's always grown from that love of the Lion King movie. And like I said, the Studio Ghibli movies there's a lot of them movies out there that I've not watched yet, but I'm slowly going through them movies and really enjoying animation. And again, I think that love of animation started at that early age. And for me, it's always going to be there now. I really enjoy animated movies. I think as an adult, there's some great animated movies for adults as well. You don't have to just watch them Disney classics anymore. You can watch, there's so much choice. And especially, physical media plus, streaming. I think Netflix is great for animated movies. I think all the Studio Ghibli stuff is on Netflix. There's tons of animated shows as well. Loads of anime. I mean, anime as well is, I've never really got into Dragon Ball and stuff like that, but I know there's tons of stuff like that out there similar to Dragon Ball Z that people really love. And that is another genre, another side of anime and animation that I've not really got into as of yet, but at some point I will. But yeah, for me, Lion King 1994, it's the one that really inspired my interest and my love of animated movies. I think it's a great movie, and still to this day, you can watch it back. It's not aged. It's perfect. It's perfect cinema for me. Finally, I want to get onto my final inspiration of movies that shaped my movie taste. And this one is for sci-fi, science fiction, but science fiction action movies, I would say more so. And it is Starship Troopers, 1997. I would have been about 6 or 7 when this movie came out, I suppose. And it is fantastic. Starship Troopers is a movie directed by Paul Verhoeven. An excellent score by Basil Poderos. Paul Verhoeven, he's obviously well known for doing RoboCop as well, another great sci-fi action movie. He did Total Recall. He's done loads of great movies over the years, Paul Verhoeven. We had a cast of Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, Neil Patrick Harris, among many more. And it's basically this movie, if you never watched it, this army of humans taking on these bugs on these alien planets, and they're going around, it's all space weapons, space suits, and it's just outrageous, just over the top action. It's a bit, you know, it's kind of like an action. There's a lot of comedy in there as well. Action, comedy, science fiction. And I wouldn't say it was a full on comedy. I think there's like just like glimpses of comedy moments, haha moments. But it's more of a science fiction action movie. But this is one I used to watch a lot growing up. I remember watching it having the VHS. A movie I would watch over and over again. And this is a movie, though, it's weirdly that I had like a big pause of watching this from childhood to adulthood. And I only really recently watched it over the past couple of years again, after years of not watching it. I don't know why, because I really did enjoy it growing up. I think it's just one of the movies maybe I thought, if I go back to, it's probably not aged that well. I watched it back like over the past few years and probably hadn't watched it in about maybe 10, 15 years. I watched it back and I was like, this movie is not... It's still great. It's not aged. It's still a great movie. It's still fantastic. The action is great. The science fiction aspect of it is great. I love them. You know, you see the ships in space. It looks, you know, I think it's all practical effects. I'm pretty sure they look fantastic. When they go to the alien planets, the CGI of the aliens isn't actually... I still think it holds up personally. I think it's not that bad, comparable to stuff like the, you know, the Star Wars movies at the time. So I think it's really well done. I think it lives up to it. But yeah, it's a great movie. But that really, you know, that inspired my interest then in years to come to watch movies like your Aliens movies, your Oblivion, your Tom Cruise stuff like Edge of Tomorrow, them sort of science fiction action movies. Aliens is another good one. I think Aliens is very comparable to Starship Troopers in a way, you know, a lot of the similar themes to it. But yeah, Starship Troopers really did inspire my interest in this genre. And there's so many other great, you know, science fiction action movies of the time, you know, Total Recall as well, that I really enjoyed, another Paul Verhoeven movie. Again, that is one I could have easily chosen, but I always think back and Starship Troopers is just one I just really took to as a kid and really enjoyed. And like I said, to this day, it's really grown my interest. I never watched horror movies growing up. I wasn't into horror. And to this day, I'm not into horror. And I think it shows. I think it goes to show the movies you watch growing up really do inspire that interest in movies, what you watch today. And I thought this would have been I hope you've enjoyed this topic, really. I hope you enjoyed it, because I've enjoyed exploring this topic and really just, because it's fun looking back. When you go to a movie in your DVD cabinet or your movie cabinet, and it's a new movie that's come out, and you're like, why? Just do this as like a little experiment. Grab a movie, like a brand new movie that's come out in the past 5 years. Grab it out of your cabinet. Let me know the movie. If you want to put it in the comments, let me know. Pick out and say to me, tell me what the movie is, and tell me, is there a movie growing up that really inspired your interest in this genre and this type of movie? I'd love to know what it is, the movies you come up with, and some what really sparked that interest in a movie. But yeah, I've enjoyed this this topic today. So that is the end of today's headline topic, ladies and gents. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
Case covers take on other case covers. Can you handle it?
Case. Cover. Collision. Case. Cover. Collision.
Case cover collision. Each and every week, I choose a different movie and look at the different case covers for that movie and put them up against each other to find out which is the winner on case cover collision. Now this week on case cover collision, I'm looking at the movie Wonka, starring Timothy Chalamet. This is a recent movie that came out last year, I believe, in 2023. It's not a movie I've watched yet, but I really enjoyed the original movie. I thought it was an absolute classic. And with Gene Wilder, he was great as Willy Wonka. The Johnny Depp movie, you know, I don't think it's awful. I don't think it's a bad movie. It just doesn't really do it for me personally. It's not one I'd probably go out my way to watch. If it was my choice, it would be the original. I think the music in the original is just amazing. It's a great soundtrack, great musical. And yeah, really just a really good, enjoyable movie that you can really just sit down and just chill out to and really enjoy. I love that world that was really built in that first movie, in that chocolate factory. I think it was brilliant. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to get around to watching this movie. It's one I'm really looking forward to watching eventually. But yeah, there's a few case covers I want to look at here. We got the DVD, we got the Blu-ray, and we got an Amazon 4K Steelbook as well to look at. So first of all, we're going to look at the DVD cover. You got Timothy Chalamet on the front cover, a mid shot of him. You know, he's kind of looks like he's at the circus presenting. He's got his arms sort of in a presenting mode. He's got like a stick in the background. He's got, is it an egg or something? Or is that like one of the golden goose eggs or something? Because I've not seen this movie yet. He's got something that's floating in his hand, so maybe that's something to do. I'm going to be looking back later and thinking, oh, that was so obvious. It was an Easter egg from the original movie or something. But the background here is a orange, really flamboyant orange and yellow background, like a gradient. The orange is in the the outskirts, and then it goes into yellow right behind Timothy Chalamet. He's got the full Wonka attire here, the hat, the purple pink suit, which looks great. Very different colours though from the original Gene Wilder suit, isn't it? It's like, because his suit's more purpley, this is more like pink, I would say, burgundy. And he's got like this scarf, really cool looking clothes. I think he really does look the part for Willy Wonka. I think he's a really talented actor as well, this guy. His name's at the top as well, Timothy Chalamet, so he's taking, you know, the headline duty on this movie. It's a great looking cover. I think it really, you know, you got the Wonka, classic Wonka text in like this gold writing here, gold color across the chest of Timothy Chalamet. I like this cover. I think it's really bright for what this movie is. You know, this is going to be a family movie. It's bright. It looks happy. It looks joyful, this cover. I really like it. I think it's a really nice set of colours here, what they've used for this as well. I think it's really good. I think it's really appealing, this cover. Surely they could have done some more. They could have added a bit more in the background. But hang on. Is the background meant to symbolise the gold from the golden tickets, maybe? Is that where it's to symbolise? Like is that like a golden ticket potentially in the background? Or... sort of, maybe I'm thinking too much into it, but I like it. I do like it. I think it's, you know, I think the colour scheme is kind of taken from that, the golden ticket sort of thing. I like it. I think it's a really well-made cover. So that's the DVD cover for Wonka. Now let's look at the Blu-ray cover. So this is the standard Blu-ray cover, and there's a very different cover, this one, the Blu-ray. Timothy Chalamet, a bit more of a long shot of him now. He's got his hands on top of each other, holding his little walking stick, the same attire he's wearing, a different colour scheme though. Rather than oranges and yellows, it's very much the pink, pinks and blues in this one, very much pink colours matching the attire of his suit. And you've got in here, you've got the Oompa Loompas in there, you've got, what's his face? I can't think of his name, who's playing the Oompa Loompa now in this movie. It's going to come to me, his name. The guy out of About a Boy and stuff like that. Yeah, it'll come to me, the British guy. It's Notting Hill. I can't think of his name, but he's playing the Oompa Loompa. You've got the young actress in the background who's obviously, I think she's meant to be pivotal in this story as well with Wonka. I don't know the character's name because I've not seen the movie, but it's great. This looks like more of a look inside the chocolate factory, you know, all the, you know, the bright looking color schemes, all the sweets, the big sweets, the lollipops, the plants that you can eat. It looks, and then you've got a Union Jack in the background because it's this British story as well, this British book by Roald Dahl. There's people floating in the background, other characters. I think this is great. I think it's so much more appealing than the first cover. Even the first cover was nice. It's just more, it's, you know, it's the same text, you know, Timothy Chalamet across the top in white small text, and then the same logo in the same position again in the middle of the screen. But this cover is just more bright, it's more colourful. You look at it and you think, that's more like a Wonka movie cover. That's a Willy Wonka, it's a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's just, that is the cover. That's what you think of Wonka, you see it, and it's just, you know, this guy who looks a bit mysterious, but then you see all these weird things around, these weird peculiar, you know, an Oompa Loompa, these weird, you know, sweets, these large plants. And it looks great, it looks bright, it looks really great. And so far for me, the Blu-ray cover is winning through. So the Blu-ray is much better than the DVD standard cover that I like. I think you can probably get this on, I don't know if you can get this on, there's a DVD version as well, but it's a great cover, this. I love this Blu-ray cover. Fantastic. Let's move on to the final case cover here, and this is the 4K Steelbook Amazon exclusive as well. And this is, again, this is the background. Is it very, again, they've went for three different covers here, which I really like. You know, I like variety here. First of all, it's a close-up shot of Timothée Chalamet. He's like nodding his hat to the audience, looking straight into the camera, one hand on the hat, looking ahead. And in the background, it's kind of like it looks like the mixture of the sweets. It's like it's a pink color, a dark pink color, and it goes into like it's like a gradient. It goes light in the inside, and it goes to a dark, dark pink in the background into a black color. And you've got behind the hat, it's the same font, but a different color. It's the Wonka in white this time, and his name looks a slight bit larger above that, Timothée Chalamet. But it looks like it's like mixing of the sweets, mixing of like some of the chocolate, maybe some of the ingredients in the. It's all swirling. It's like a swirled color. It's like it's all swirled together, and I like it. Again, it's a very. It's like the colors of the Wonka bars. I think that's the color scheme here, very much. You know, the Wonka bars from the original movie, they were like that sort of like dark pink back color. I think that's the kind of color and the vibe they've went for this cover here on this one. So I really like this. Again, it's very simple, very minimalist cover. But I think it works because you see, it's got a bit of more of a vintage feel, this cover, definitely. I like it. I think it's a really solid cover. I really do like this one. So, which one is the winner of this week's case cover collision? I like the 4K. I actually like the DVD as well. But for me, the best cover is that Blu-ray cover. I think it's really bright. It's just really inviting for audiences. You see it down in a movie shop, it looks like a cover you would want in your collection. It's a great looking cover, well made, well presented for the audience. That Blu-ray cover is bright, it's flamboyant, it's vibrant. It's everything I think this movie probably is going to be, and I like it. And yeah, so the winner of this week's case cover collision is the Willy Wonka, not the Wonka, it's the Wonka Blu-ray cover. Now let's move on to the Amazon Top 10.
The Amazon Top 10 is approaching. Prepare yourself. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1. The Amazon Top 10 has arrived.
The Amazon Top 10. Each and every week I give you the Amazon Top 10 for DVDs, Blu-rays and 4Ks, the best sellers list on amazon.co.uk. Let's look at the list this week. We have got at number 10 on 4K, the Aliens 4K release. At number 9, we have Oppenheimer on Blu-ray. At number 8, we have The Great Escaper DVD. Not The Great Escape, The Great Escaper. It's a different movie from that. I think it's a new movie. At number 7, we have The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes on DVD. At number 6, we have Barbie on DVD, the Barbie movie. At number 5, with the new release of the new Dune movie, we got Dune on DVD, the first movie on DVD at number 5. At number 4, we have Dune Part 2 on 4K, and that pre-order is already out, so you can get a 4K pre-order on that. That's at number 4. At number 3, we have Wonka on Blu-ray, that fantastic cover we just mentioned on Case Cover Collision. That's the Blu-ray cover, that's at number 3. At number 2, we have Oppenheimer on DVD. And at number 1, I think a movie that's probably going to hold the number 1 slot for a few weeks to come, we have Wonka on DVD. And that is the top of the Amazon Top 10. That's the Amazon Top 10 for this week's episode. Let's move on to the final segment of today's show, and that is Not So Worthy Blockbuster Housekeeping. This is a part of the show where I discuss what's going on with the channel, with the Movie Cheer Pod, what's going on in Movie Cheer Town. It's just a general little chit-chat at the end of the show where we ease out of the show every week. So what's been going on this past week in Movie Cheer Town? I think it's about a week or two ago now, I mentioned this, I was going to be doing this. I had a Laserdisc discussion with my good friend Ben, aka Rider Rated 18. Check him out, he's a great guy on Instagram, cool guy, Ben. And we recorded a Laserdisc discussion the other week. And it's something I've not got around to editing it yet, but I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you all. We had a great discussion. That'll be coming out on the Movie Cheer Pod feed over the next few weeks. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you all. But yeah, we had a really just a great chat. We did this sort of thing a few years back, talking about Laserdisc, and he's really knowledgeable, Ben. And I thought it was just a really nice follow-up to our previous discussion and really delving into that format of Laserdisc a bit more. So it was great to have that chat with Ben, and I really appreciated him coming on to do that. So I'm going to be editing that over the next few weeks and sharing that with you all. I can't wait to share it because it was a really fun discussion between us both. So that's coming up soon. We've got a few comments I want to go through here. So I just got my phone out. So go on here from... I do apologize. It just says at user ID. It's not I didn't get a name, so I do apologize in advance. I currently have a serious case of DVD nostalgia. I don't watch movies or TV shows very often, but having a collection of my favorites on the shelf is something I realize that I need, and I reckon a smart move, especially while they are so cheap and available. So I've been working on building my own personal ultimate collection. I have bought a large media shelf that is plenty big enough for what I'll need, and I've been chipping away at gathering what I need. I've never used any streaming service of any sort and never will. I'm pretty much happy staying with the 2000s technology, lol. Great video, DVD forever. Thank you very much for the comment. I appreciate that, and I do apologize again for not catching your name on the... But yeah, a great comment. You know, I think that's great, you know. Getting a bunch of movies that are your favourites. Hey, there's nothing wrong with 2000 technology as well. I think it's great. I still live by it. Yeah, great comment that. And really, I appreciate the passion in physical media though, and just in getting a collection of movies that you just enjoy and you want to watch. I think that's ace. I do the same. I do exactly the same. Next, we have a comment from This Corrosion 3843. And this is on the Should You Collect DVDs in 2022 video, 2 years ago now, but it's still a video that gets a lot of great comments on there. You should have physical media no matter what year it is. The year date is irrelevant. I think that's a fair comment. I think that's a really well-made comment. Thank you very much. Yeah, I agree. Physical media is still great to this day. And, you know, looking back at that other comment as well, you know, just having a collection of movies you really enjoy is great. And I think it's something that I really enjoy to this day, just having a bunch of movies in my house. If, you know, stream services go down, the internet goes down, I've still got a bunch of movies that I can really just enjoy, which is what I like about having movies physical. But yeah, I want to just touch on it as well, briefly as well. The live stream for the 1K celebration, it's still going ahead. I've got some time off at the end of March. I'm hopefully going to do it one weekend at the end of March. I've got an idea for a format. I've got an idea. I'll share it. I was thinking about doing like a sort of like a looking at some of the topics that have been most viewed on the channel, and also putting out some posts to invite some more topics on, and to do like sort of like a Wheel of Fortune sort of thing, like or a mystery, you know, like dig into a hat and just grab out the topics and maybe just select a few of them topics just to kind of like go over in 2024 as a live stream. And if anyone has any questions as well, just on the live stream, we can answer them. That's the idea for the live stream. Nothing too crazy. Maybe we'll see about getting guests. I'm not really planning too much at the moment, but that's kind of the idea for the format. Just a little celebration video, celebration live stream of the 1K subscribers, which is still, I'm really thankful for that. I think it's awesome. But yeah, that's it. But that's it for another show, ladies and gents. If you enjoyed this episode today, please do give it a like and leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. If you listen to this on a podcast app of your choice, please do subscribe to the podcast app and leave a review, because the reviews really do help. And let me know your thoughts on today's headline topic: movies that shaped your film taste, films that shaped your inspired your taste of movies today. Let me just know some of the movies you love today that you really inspired by certain movies you watched growing up, and let me know your thoughts on the rest of today's topics: the Willy Wonka, the Wonka movie case. Which one was your favorite on Case Cover Collision? What do you think of the Amazon top 10 this week as well? Wonka taking that top 10 slot is it worthy? I think it's going to be a fun movie. I can't wait to watch that. Also, let me know your thoughts on some of the movies I've watched this past week. The Beekeeper. I want to know your thoughts. Is it a Jason Statham movie worthy? A good Jason Statham movie? Or do you think it's a bit overhyped? What do you think as well? Do you think this could be a sequel, a franchise of new movies coming out from this movie? I think we could definitely see a sequel for sure. But yeah, let me know your thoughts on all of today's topics, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for watching, ladies and gents. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer. And as always, I will see you next time.